and welcome to the Destiny Prague podcast. Our heart is to see people empowered by the love of Jesus and activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God is still relevant today, and we trust that this message will bless you, challenge you, and fill your heart and mind with the truth of who God is and who you are in Christ. We believe that God has a plan for your life, and we want to journey a road of discipleship with you as you discover who He has called you to be. If you'd like to connect with us, check out our website at destinychurch.cz. Let's go.
Kids can go to Sunday school. We have Wusu. Yes. And Tatiana. Awesome. Have fun. If you don't know, today we don't have a usual Sunday service. We call it Community Sunday. And the hint is in the name of it. It's dedicated to a community. What we're going to do today is we're going to hear the testimonies of people, of real people who come to Destiny, and we're going to take communion together. I was reminded of one of my favorite verses. It's Revelation 12:11. It says, "They triumphed over him," meaning the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And that's what we're doing today. We are remembering the power of the blood, the power to heal, to set people free, the cost that Jesus paid, the mercy, the grace, the reconciliation that the blood of Jesus has brought. We're going to be sharing testimonies. Ify, Yana, and Jackie will be sharing testimonies, and the Bible instructs us to encourage one another, right? And so we will build the faith of each other. And we create space for people to come and just to share how God has been working in their journey, and how He showed them love and mercy. And the truth is, what I love about the testimony is, first of all, because it's personal stories of people who are testifying the goodness and faithfulness of God. And I want you to be reminded of the truth that God is working in your life. If you feel stagnant, if you feel like you're not moving forward, if you feel purposeless, this is supposed to be a reminder for you that God is constantly working for your good. Amen? When we will hear the testimonies, I want us to honor these stories, because it's not just an encouraging story that you will hear somewhere in some church, right, or read on Instagram. It's the stories of their personal stories, their personal experience, they coming vulnerably sharing of what God has done, of how desperate they were for the touch of God. So I just want to honor them. I want us to learn something from them. If something encourages you in their stories, come and tell it to them. Come and ask for a prayer. There is a power, right, in just laying of hands and prophesying that what God has done for them, He can do the same for you. And I think that's all. Let me just pray, and then we'll hear a testimony from Yana. God, thank you so much for your word, God. Thank you that you constantly work in our lives, God. Thank you that you never fail us, God. What we read in the Bible about your faithfulness, about how good you are, God, and that you're fighting for us, God. You're constantly working for our good. And I'm praying for these people who will be testifying, God. I'm praying just for your spirit upon them, God, for your peace upon them, God. And I'm praying that we, as sitting here and just listening to the stories, God, we will be encouraged in the spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yana? Let's give a shout to Yana and clap.
My heart is beating really fast, you know. You know when we're singing that song, and it said, "All my life you have been faithful, and I will keep singing about the goodness of God." I was looking at my son sitting in the second row, and I was like, yes, all my life you have been faithful. And you have been so good, and I will talk about the goodness of God today and always. So standing here, I actually in my head imagine many, many times before it all even was finished. And At some point, that image was the only thing that kept me going. That image that one day I will be able to share with you how good God has been in my life and maybe even inspire, even if the smallest grain of faith in someone. But it would not make sense today to share this testimony if I wouldn't share some of my background. It won't be easy, and as Dilly said, we are very vulnerable when we are standing here and sharing the testimony. So I hope it will bring encouragement to anyone who is facing any kind of difficult situation in their life. And that's actually one of the main points of sharing testimonies. So as many of you know, I have a beautiful son, Oscar, who has a really great sense of humor. He's 4. And just to give you a little bit of background, basically his dad and I had a sort of a difficult relationship. But about a year and a half ago, thank God, it began to change and we finally were able to find a way of communicating. He was facing so many challenges in his life, but that's a different story. But Christmas 2022, somehow I felt really encouraged to talk to him about Jesus and especially about forgiveness. It was not the first time, but with people that you love and care about, you never stop. Never stop. So in our relationship, there was lots of hurt, but I thank God because of his love and forgiveness, I was able to really move past this situation, and rather than being a source of judgment to Oscar's dad, I was a source of encouragement. And I'm going to read from 1 Peter 4:8. My favorite amplified version, sorry, don't judge me for that. And it says, above all, have a fervent and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. It overlooks unkindness and unselfishly seeks the best for others. So as a Christian, one of the things I wanted to say is that never find yourself to be a source of judgment or discouragement to anyone. You know, always be encouraging and loving. Praise God. Also, this was during Christmas, you know, and Christmas is always a good opportunity to share the story of what God did for us. So to share love with someone. So anyway, I will just move a bit forward, not to waste the time. And in the beginning of February last year, so Oscar's dad was supposed to come to visit us to Prague. He lived in London. And, you know, it was very exciting, but of course I was quite nervous about it as well, but I knew it was a good thing. Now, wow. So about 2 days before, you know, we planned all these things we were going to do in Prague, I did not tell Oscar about it, but it was more of a surprise. And about 2 days before that, I got the news that he passed away. Just like that, you know, our lives were completely turned around just like that. So there were many difficult situations. I went to London, you know, to go for the funeral, meet with the family. You can imagine. I think if you ever lost someone, you know, it's awful. It's never, it doesn't bring any pleasure. It's just awful situation. But I have to say that during this funeral, and even though it was very painful, I got the peace from God, you know, about Oscar's dad's salvation. And I knew that God had accepted him. But you can imagine that during the funeral service, we were there and the pastor was there, was saying lots of things in Portuguese. I didn't understand, you know, it was very interesting. But I did understand that few months before he passed away, he started going to this church that the pastor was from. And when he came, he gave his life to Christ. And just about that time of the funeral, he was supposed to start a Bible school. So this was like super important for me to hear, you know. And like I said, it was still very painful, but there was so much peace in it. Praise God. Now, this is actually the only reason that I can stand here today and talk about it with peace in my heart. What a blessing. What a joy to know that someone that you love has made peace with God before passing away. Yes, it has been difficult to deal with every single day of our life, but this is very deep. That this is a thought or something one of my friends shared with me when I was going through the situation. And if you know Jesus shortly, it might not make sense, so it will be hard to understand, but one of my friends told me that it is better to live a short life and know Jesus than live a long life without knowing him. I'm going to say that again, that it is better to live a short life and know Jesus than live long without knowing him. And that's the main point of this, you know. And I wanted to say regarding this part of the testimony that never stop praying for the people that you love. You know, don't give up, never give up, never give up. Even if you're tired of praying, you know, ask somebody to pray with you. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 3:6, again, my amplified favorite version. And it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was causing the growth. It's important to plant the seed. So to talk to someone about God or about Jesus, about salvation. But it is important to water that seed with prayer. And God, in his perfect timing, that I might not be able to understand, because you are thinking like, what the heck? He just like gave his life to Christ and then he died, you know? It's like crazy. But God does this in his perfect timing. Praise God. So that was the first part, the hardest one to get over it. And now, just about the time when I came back from the funeral, I found out that I have like 6 months to write my thesis and to be able to finish my degree, which, by the way, I started to study in 2018. So, you know, it was a long time ago, but during the time I moved from Prague to London, moved back to Czech, had a baby and was basically working a lot. So, you know, that was just the story. And that was the time. And this is another important, you know, a point of this testimony. That was the time when I came back from the funeral. I knew I need to find a home church for me and my son where we can feel like at home. And, you know, I have someone to talk to about this and, you know, pray with. And we came to Destiny. And to be honest, it was such a great decision to come here. And I wrote here that coming here was like coming into the loving hands of God. And this was a year ago. After that, I also attended the women's group, and I remember us today, you know, we separated into small groups and we were praying for each other in the groups. So everybody shared something, and I talked about this thesis with Gina and, you know, some other friends. And then we prayed. And Gina was really encouraging me to, like, how to start the thesis. We prayed for this meeting I had with my tutor that was, like, the first time before, you know, like, we met the first time together. And everything, I would just say that I'm going to kind of cut it short, I think. But throughout the time, even with my tutor, it was very difficult to communicate. I wrote the whole theory of my thesis without her giving me any feedback or telling me anything. So I was like, half of my thesis is done and she hasn't written me anything. But every time I felt discouraged, I find myself here sitting on Sunday, you know. And that's just like so important to be here. Not to be in the presence of God, because you carry the presence of God with you, but to be encouraged by seeing other believers, hearing different testimonies, you know, the worship, everything just all together makes sense. And sometimes, you know, like this is one of the preachings that really encouraged me was when Donovan was sharing about some situations from his life, and he said something that he realized that God was always in his corner. So if you imagine that there is, the way I imagined it, that you are having a boxing match with someone, you know, with the enemy or whoever, and God is sitting in that corner, you know, just like, he's always there, you know, he's always there. And then I realized that this is my story too, and I started to look back at my life and name or like write down or think about all those things that God has done before. And I knew that this is not going to be any other way, you know. So I did manage to, you know, finish the thesis. I got an A. But to be honest, of course, you know, you have to study. The Bible says you should study to show yourself approved. But when you do the part, even if it's a small part, God does this huge part for you. And I didn't even feel like I was qualified enough to do that. And that's not even to talk about the state exam that came after, because in Czech Republic, you have to do state exams. We had three main exams. You know, all the girls from my class were like so, they knew like everything. And when we were talking about what we're going to study or what we're going to do, they knew everything. And I was like, I felt really disqualified. But you know, when you feel disqualified, it's God who qualifies you for these things. And to be honest, at the exams, I was the day before not so calm. But during those exams, I was so calm. There were girls crying, passing out from the stress. And you know, all I was just like praising God and thanking him for this. And of course, if I'm standing here, so you know that God did it. And I did pass those exams, and I was very grateful to God. And one of the songs that was so meaningful to me during this whole time was the song Gratitude from Brandon Lake. And I don't know if that song had touched your life, but it had touched my life so much, you know? Because as it says, all my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? So this is how I express all my gratitude to God for my family, for my son, even for Oscar's dad's salvation, you know, for everything in my life. And I just want to thank God for everything. Praise God.
Thank you, Jan. It's very encouraging. Jesus said that he will leave with us peace that surpasses every understanding and knowledge, right? Amen. We're going to go. I did not connect 1+1, but I think if he has similar testimony. So if he, are you here? I cannot see you. Oh, yeah, here you are. Cool.
So just want to say, this is the greatest long con I've ever pulled on a church. I wanted to get in front of here. I'm just kidding. how you guys doing? You guys looking beautiful today. You got all your cardigans and everything. Like, oh, you look so cozy. All good. So, yeah. So I also got a school-related testimony, but it doesn't start out super good. All right. The last 2 years have been the worst 2 years of my life. And it's not just because the Lakers couldn't win another NBA Finals. Like, bro, LeBron just got 40,000 points all time. The most points all time. Amazing. But you lost the freaking game. It's crazy. It's not because of that. I had people, I don't know if you've had this, but I've had people really close to me betray me, like family. You know, if any of y'all, we got a lot of black people at church now. Y'all know African families. It's painful. And I started 2020, came here, what, 2022? End of the year. And the first Sunday I was at Destiny, I was like, I was just like, I was burnt clean out. Like, I'd been dealing with just feeling misunderstood. Don't know if y'all know what it's like to be pastor's kid and the firstborn and the son. It's like a whole sort of thing, right? And I was in a place, darkest place I ever been in. And you know, like, I'd be a real chipper guy, I'd be real happy, and I'd be like, you know, super fun and like joking all the time, but like, life was bad, man. Like, I just wake up someday and I'm like, I gotta do this again. Like, I gotta deal with these people. And like, y'all know what I'm talking about. You guys have had people close to you betray you, and people you thought that they would always be there, suddenly they're like turning on you. And I don't know, the only way I made it through was God. You know, it's kind of cliche and a little bit cringe, but there's a statement that says, sometimes you have to hit rock bottom to meet the rock that's at the bottom. Because it's like, sometimes you don't know that God is all that you need until he's all that you have. And like, you have these moments. I had these moments, man. Like, I mean, my financial situation was terrible. My grandfather passed away. I had what's called, you know, sometimes people call it like a dark night of the soul. Like, I'm like, bro, like, what am I supposed to do, man? And I mean, my closest friends, like, they were dumbfounded. They were like, we don't know, man. We don't know how we're going to handle it. And, you know, that's a place where I struggled with my faith. And it's not in the sense of, like, intellectually, right? Like, y'all know me. I'll be, like, theology nerd. And it's not like I was struggling with the existence of God or whether Christianity is true. It's like, that's so 2015. But, like, sometimes you might not struggle intellectually, but you might struggle with actually trusting God with stuff. You know, like, you have these moments where you're just like, I know God can, but do I feel like he can? Like, it's not even that you lost faith in God, you lost faith in yourself. And you guys have all gone through that. I've gone through that. I've been in moments where I felt like life was kicking me down and things were really hard. And sometimes it's like you're so mad at a situation, but it's not that God failed you, it's that your expectations of life did. Because you thought that it was just going to be all smooth sailing. You thought you were going to get there. You thought, man, I wasn't going to have the situation. Man, I wasn't going to have that problem. Man, I wasn't going to go through that divorce. Whatever it is. And with school and with my family and, like, all this stuff and, like people bad-mouthing me and talking crazy stuff behind my back and, like, I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff said about me and threats from family, and it was bad. It was really bad. And I know in that situation you can cope in really bad ways with the wrong people in the wrong places at the wrong times. And you go home and you're like, why was I there, bro? Like, they were all musty anyway. Why was I there? Bro, it's like, ugh. It's like, really? And then you go to school and you're like all sad. I was in class. I remember one day I was crying in the back of class. A professor walks up to me. He's like, if you're late to class again, I will fail you. And I'm like, bro, like, I'm not doing all right. It's like, they don't care. Because, you know, college professors, they're like, I don't care that you have relationship problems or family problems. My wife left me and took all the kids. Like, you know, bro, I had a professor like that. He shaved his head clean bald, bro. Dude was crazy. I hope he got help. But there's a verse in the Bible that has stuck with me. It's really stuck with me. And it's Psalm 37, 23 to 24. And it says, a man's steps are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. And though he may fall, he is not overwhelmed because the Lord holds his hand. And you know, like, they're established by the Lord. Even the old translations, like KJV, is going to say they're ordered by the Lord. And the thing is like, you might not see like how God is ordering your life, how he's ordering your steps, and how he's making the story even better. You might be right now in a moment where you're just like, dude, I don't know what to do. And I was there. Like, I was just drained. Like, I had no energy. I didn't know how to cope with all this pain. Some of y'all know a lot more of the details. Like, it was really bad, man. And, like, I mean, couldn't pay tuition because now my family's mad at me for things. And now they were like, we're not paying that. Like, all kinds of crazy stuff. And in the midst of it all, God was there. And like, you know, Psalm 34, 18, it says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And I don't know if you've been brokenhearted or crushed in spirit, but I was. Like, I was like I'm tired of people. I can't stand people. And I was working at Nike, so I had to see people every day. And they were like, oh my gosh, can I get like this bra? And it's like, it wasn't the right size. Can you get this other one for me? It's like, we don't have it. Why don't you have it? It's like, relax, lady. And you know, it was terrible. Yeah, it was crazy. And I was so tired. And Destiny was really like people who really were in my corner. Really supported me. They were like, yeah, Ify, we're here for you. We care about you. And then I'd be explaining it to them, and they would survive my long rants. And, like, I got severe ADHD, if you can't tell. Actually, you probably can't tell because I'm on my meds right now. But whatever. I was really in a bad place, and they really stood by me. I mean, like, if y'all new to this church, like, it's a good church. Like, most of us are not problematic. Yeah, there's this one guy holding the mic right now. He's kind of weird, but everybody else. And, you know, it's crazy. Because of school, because of all that pressure, I was in my last semester. I was supposed to graduate June 2023, be done with school, start working. And during that time, I mean, I was so dead that I actually didn't pass one of my classes. Then I was doing my thesis, and if you guys are in school right now or you're going to do your thesis, do not do it in 2 months with no help. Now, it's not actually my fault. My professor, God bless him, he didn't really help. I did the whole thing, research and writing by myself. But the Lord kept saying, like, I had to do interviews. God sent the people. He put the people that I needed to talk to. I needed to write it in 2 months. I mean, I had days where I would literally sit down and write for 8 hours. Do not do this, okay? It was bad. And yet, I was able to pass that. But I wasn't able to pass all my classes. It's crazy that I had no help, but finished my thesis with an A. I began the year 2023 in a really bad place, but it didn't end that way. So I had the Lord restored a lot of my relationship with my family. We began the year with a funeral, and at the very end of the year, my aunt got married. I ended the year with passing that one class that I thought was too hard to pass. And a really crazy one was, in those moments, that I remember the verse that says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. And like I would wake up some days, and I'd be like I know the theological answer for why I have a purpose. It's like to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Okay, I know that one. But actually, I felt like there was no reason for me to be here, to be honest. I was like, it's funny, extroverted people, we tend to be a mile wide and an inch deep, and sometimes we feel like everybody knows us, but nobody sees us. And, wait, what? And, you know, there's Hagar in the Bible. She felt abandoned and alone, but when she met God, she called God El Roi, which means God who sees me. And in those moments, I was able to see that God is my refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble, which is Psalm 46. I wanted to quit. I wanted to give it all up. I had a lot on my plate, like more than a sumo wrestler's lunch. And it was bad. And yet the Lord was with me. And you know, I went to this exam, I did my last state exams, and God was just, you gotta let God cook sometimes. God, I don't have enough words to express how good God is. I was supposed to do my economic state exam and major state exam back to back. And if anybody here knows anything about Visha Air, don't do that. Like, it's the easiest way to probably just go to a psych ward the next day. I mean, Visha Air, bro, it's like Oprah. It's like, you get stressed. Everybody gets stressed. And what God did is I went to the economic state exam. I had to learn. I knew micro because I was repeating it, but I had to learn all of macro again in 4 days. I go to that exam. I'm like, yo, I don't want to be here. And I asked God for a specific question, like a very specific, like, when I pull the paper, can I get this specific question? So I'm sitting down there, and they're grilled. I mean, this guy before me, he actually passed, which I don't know how. Because they were roasting. They were like, man, you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't know. I'm sitting there like, oh, my gosh, they're going to kill him. And, like, I thought they were so mad. I thought it was going to be terrible. And he gets it. Here's the paper. And I pull it. It was the exact question. The exact question. I sit down. I presented it to them. I passed. Now, the school, I would not have been able to do back-to-back exams. The school just decided, hey, we can't fit you into the next exam. And I thought that would mean I'd have to pay a whole semester's worth just for one exam in June. But they were like, but we can let you do it on February 12th. It's crazy. So they moved the exam, and I had 3 more weeks to study. And like I study like a crazy person. I go to this exam, and my mom, I told my mom, I want to go first so I can just be in one and done. And my mom, she said that when I said to her, I want to go first, she said she felt the verse in the Bible that says, last shall be first, first shall be last. She said, don't go first. So, as it happens, I don't even know why that was funny, but anyway. She's like, don't go first, go last. I'm like, okay. This actually, like, this is crazy. So, they told us to come at 7:30, but then the website, which is the more updated version, told us 8:45. So, I assumed 8:45. So I was leaving the house at 7:30, and I got a call to say, yo, you're late, bro. Like, you gotta prepare, and then the exam's next. I was like, nah. I'm about to miss the whole exam just for being late. I pulled up to school at 8. They're like, it's fine. You got only 45 minutes to prepare. So everybody had an hour and 15 minutes to prepare. I only got 45 minutes. So I sit down, and they're like, you're going to be last. I'm like, okay. The first person that goes is the only girl. She goes up, and the head of the whole program quizzed her. If you know how state exams go, they tell people the grades at the very end. In the middle of quizzing her, he told her he was failing her. First girl. Now, she was fine. But the thing is, you can't predict what paper you're going to get. She got finance. She was doing okay. He's like, nah, I'm failing you. Like, straight up, in front of all of us in the room. We're all sitting there like he was actually sort of mad. After she goes up, he leaves. He gets switched out with another guy. I went last. I didn't just pass. I got the best grade. First shall be last. Last shall... How do you explain that? Like, how do you explain that? And the thing is, like, I don't think he should have failed her. He was being whack. I don't know if he had marriage problems, but, like, The thing is, like, I mean, he looked kind of stressed, man. I don't know. Hypertension or something. But the thing is, like, how? How'd that happen? Like, I had been slaving away. It is slavery. I had been slaving away to pass this degree, and God came through. And I'm going to end on a verse. It says, it's in 2 Timothy 2:11-13. And it says, the saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The thing is, like, I don't know what kind of brokenness you're going through, whether it's in your family, in your finances, or whatever. And, like, I remember some of those days, and I was like, I had tears for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like, I was not okay, man. Like, I still think I'm not okay, but God was there, and I just want you to know that, as it says, he's close to the brokenhearted. He was restoring things in my family. He helped me finish school, and a lot of bright things, bright future ahead. And I guess the last thing I'll say is, you know, the Bible says Jesus, he, for the joy set before him, he endured what he went through. He went to the cross for us. And like, if Jesus was willing to do all of that to save us on the cross, to die and rise again, God decided to become a baby. God decided to live among us and save us. He could have done it in a second. He decided to be a baby. God takes his time sometimes, guys. Sometimes it doesn't need to happen right away. Sometimes he's setting it up. Sometimes he's got something better. And it's like, it's only like looking back that I can see that like, he was holding on to me the whole time. So that's it. Thanks, guys.
Amen. The reality, right, that life can happen, bad situation can happen, but God is in the midst of it, and that's what brings us hope and peace. Last but not least, the testimony from Jackie. She's my close friend. I've known her for ages before she moved to Prague, and whenever I talk to Jackie, it's just incredible. I'm in awe of what God is doing, so I approach her myself and ask her to share the testimony because I think it will encourage you. So, Jackie, if you want to come.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to start off by saying I am so excited what God is doing, and what he's been doing in my family is still mind-blowing to me. For people who say that life with Jesus is boring or restrictive, I guess I would like to propose the question, well, have you encountered a religious parody of Jesus, or have you encountered the Spirit of the living God? Because the Spirit of the living God is very different than the cheap imitation of Jesus. And so this is a testament to the Spirit of the living God, Jesus. So everything started in February 2020. I was living in West Papua at the time, in a very isolated area in the jungle. And I experienced a spiritual rebirth. And it's similar to what Jesus and Nicodemus had a discussion about this internal shift that just took place. And it's hard to put into words because it was such a spiritual experience. But it was literally like I could see things for what they really were for the first time. Like I could spot when it was a lie or when it was a truth. I could read through manipulation and deception, things like that. And so that happened, and I was married at the time. At this time, I was married for about 8 years. So after that, a month after that, chaos just kind of flooded my life. There was a rebel attack in our small community, and it left a friend was shot and killed. And then COVID hit at that same time, and my husband at the time was not well at all. And so this happened, and one of my dear friends, Marina, who some of you may know because she used to live in Prague and attend this church, she was the one friend I had who really knew Jesus. And she faithfully called me every week and just prayed with me because she knew I felt like I was just living in chaos. So she faithfully called me every week. We were praying, and I ended up moving back to the U.S., and it was like one difficult thing after another kept happening. Yet at the same time, I knew that God was with me. It was like he was saying, girl, I got you. Like, I got you. You're going to be okay. And so Chris is Marina's husband. And so they were back in the U.S. at the same time. And one evening, the three of us got together, and we were just praying. And as we're praying, the Lord gives Chris a vision, and Chris proceeds to tell me what he's seeing. And he's like, Jackie, I'm seeing a picture of you and your family tree, and I see flames of fire just igniting above people's heads, and they're turning from black and white to color. Does this mean anything to you? And I was like, no, because at the time, I was so new to walking with Jesus that literally I had no idea what that meant. Well, then a month later, my marriage completely falls apart. It's like it disintegrates out of nowhere. And I was talking with my brother about everything that had just happened in my life in the past year. And I was sharing this vision that Chris had with my brother. And it was like we knew in that moment that the Holy Spirit was saying, now, guys, like this, this is taking place now. My spirit is moving, permeating throughout your family now. So that happens. A year and a half later, I'm officially divorced, and yet I felt like I was on this roller coaster of seeking God, but yet like so much was happening, and yet I knew he was with me the whole time. Like it was just this comfort I had that he said, you're going to be okay. And so I had these questions or these thoughts that kept on appearing, and one of them was, like, there's got to be so much more to God than what I was taught and what I was led to believe. And I could not get rid of this thought. And the other thought was, I want to sell everything I have, move away and live with nuns for a little bit to learn more about God. And so I didn't know any nuns at the time, but I knew two older ladies that Chris and Marina had introduced me to, Cindy and Carolyn. Some of you may know them. And so I reached out to them, and I said, you know, it sounds a little crazy, but would you be open to me staying with you guys for a couple months and just learning more about the Holy Spirit and God and living by faith? And they said, yeah, sure, come. So I quit my incredible job, got rid of my things, moved to Prague without a plan, and a week after moving to Prague, my brother John calls. And he explains to me that he had this incredible encounter with divine Jesus. And the way he describes it is, he's like, it was like there was an obstruction between me and God, something that was preventing me from having this deep oneness and connection with God. And it was as if divine Jesus reached down, completely removed this obstruction, so we had this deep, beautiful connection. And he described that obstruction as being a religious entity that was removed. And so he's sharing this with me. I'm like, oh my goodness. I've heard about some of this stuff through Cindy and Carolyn, but I never would have imagined it happened to my brother. So then as we're talking, he says, you're going to experience freedom this week. I was like, what? And so sure enough, that week, God does the same thing. Like in his miraculous, gracious way, reaches down, removes several obstructions from my life that had been preventing me from having this deep, united connection with God. And just to give you guys a little hint of what this was, so I had doubt permeating through what seemed like everything in my life. Every decision, every thought, everything I did, just doubts flooding it. And I had a lot of tormenting thoughts towards myself, towards other people. And it was literally like God reached down, remove these things, and I experienced clarity in my mind and freedom in my mind for the first time. And in that moment, I thought, this is freedom. This is what Jesus is talking about. Like, this is it. And so that happened to my brother, to me. So then we're sharing our stories with my other brother, Ryan, and his wife. And they end up coming on this journey of seeking divine Jesus with us. And they experience radical freedom. So that happens. 3 months later, I go back to the U.S., and in those 3 months that I'm in Prague, it's like the Lord in his grace has just been teaching me so much about who he is and what he's doing and actually what he's about and not religion, because all I knew was religion. And so when I move back, or when I go back to the U.S. while my work visa is in process, I go on a trip with my sister and her family and my brother John and his family. And before the trip, John and his wife and I get together and we just were praying for my sister because she had a lot of like church hurt and we didn't know what in the world she believed. And we just felt compelled to pray for her. So we go on this trip and a couple days into the trip, something really awful and terrible and heartbreaking happens to the point where I walk into a room and I see my sister and her husband, John and his wife on the floor and everybody's sobbing. And John looks at me, he's like, we need to pray. And so we all get together and we literally start crying out to God because of this horrible situation that just happened. And it was wild. Because God in his divine grace and mercy completely intervened, like completely changed this horrible situation into something completely different. And so we had 3 days left of vacation, and we were just talking to my sister and her husband and praying with the kids, praying with the family, and just sharing stories of what God has been doing in our life. And the last day of the trip, my sister comes to me and she's like, you know what, Jack? She's like, ever since you got back from Prague, you're just so different. Like, you're just so different. And something happened to John and he's different too. And whatever it is that made you guys different, I want it. And so she then, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is the Spirit of the living God. Like, it has nothing to do with me. And so she then comes to a place of where she opens her, like she becomes vulnerable and just welcomes the Spirit of Jesus into her life, and everything changes for her. Not just for her, but her kids and her family. Like the way she lives her life became totally different. That happens. A year after that, well, within the next year, so all my siblings and I now are on this journey and praying into this vision that my friend Chris had about the Spirit of God permeating throughout our family tree. So we're praying into this, and guys, I can't even begin to tell you the type of things that are happening in our lives personally and in our workplaces. Like, just to give you a little example, like my brother, John, he heads up an urgent care in the U.S., and he has patients that come in who are ridden with anxiety and fear, and Holy Spirit will just speak to him, and he's like, speak life over them. Pray over them, and they leave without fear and anxiety. Or porn stars coming in for STD checks and come in with an identity of, I am just a porn star, and leave with a completely different identity. Like, this kind of stuff is happening. So then, we're praying into this. And this past December, my dad calls me, and he's very vulnerable. This is the first time I've ever heard him share anything. Usually our conversations are like 3 minutes long. And he shares with me how he has this knot in his stomach that like he can't get rid of. And he's experiencing depression. And for my dad to say this is like, what is going on? And so I say, and it's all about this hunting situation. And I'm assuming nobody is a hunter here. But I won't tell you. I won't tell you the story, but anyways, so I say, well, Dad, would it be helpful if I prayed with you? And this is the first time I've ever prayed with my dad. And so I pray with him. The next day, my brother John prays with him, but John prays for a very specific miracle to happen in this situation. Won't you know, 14 hours later, that very specific miracle happens. And my dad, like, he literally says, it's a miracle. Like, it is a complete miracle. This should not have happened. I don't understand this. And just praising God, literally singing and praising God. And if you know my dad, he's a very quiet man. Like, he doesn't do things like that. Then he goes and he shares this incredible miracle story with his hunting buddies. And at the end, he's just praising God and saying, if anybody wants to know more about Jesus, come to me. And I'm like, what? Is this really my dad? Like, how is this possible? So that happens. And I share all this because through this journey, there have been like three pulsating themes that keep coming up. One being, God can transform and bring such beautiful things and good things out of the most horrible situations. Like, the worst situations, good can emerge from. It's a divine mystery that I'm so thankful for. Second thing, he will never fail. He comes through every single time. If I wrote down every time he came through, guys, I would literally have a novel by now. Small things, big things, he comes through every single time. And this is a promise for us who believe. It is truth. And it happens all the time. And lastly, prayer. The power of prayer is incredible. And I had this thought that I couldn't get rid of, and it was, why, when we pray to Jesus, do we then end in Jesus' name? Like, it didn't make sense to me. And God, his spirit led me to John 14, and in it, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, whatever you ask in my name, it will be done to you, or done for you. And he's talking about whatever is done in the will, or whatever you ask in the will of the Father, that will be done. And it's kind of coupled with 1 John 5, of where he talks about this. And so I was looking up in Hebrew, like, what he meant by that. And in Hebrew notion, it actually means when you ascribe your name to something, it is as if that person is doing it themselves. So Jesus is saying, when you pray in my name, it is as if I am actually praying that. And the best analogy I have is if I'm working for a big company, my boss has me write a letter, and the letter is meaningless if I sign my name to it, but it has all the power, all the authority if my boss's name is on it and he sends it to the client. And so this completely changed the way I pray, because now when I pray, it's like I know the will of the Father because I know Jesus. And I know how he lived his life, and I know what he said, and I apprentice under him. So I know the will of the Father. And so this is incredible, because now I'm like, this totally changes how I pray. Like, I actually believe that what I pray is going to happen because of Jesus. It has nothing to do with me or how eloquently I'm praying or anything like that, but because of the power and the authority coming from Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Like, that is mind-blowing to me. And so these things have been just these pulsating themes that have occurred within my family. And I guess I just want to end with, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. Amen. There is hope in Jesus.
So,
yeah.
So powerful, right? I want to ask Jackie to pray after, because, man, God's hands is really on her family. I met her brothers. They are incredible. And, I want just you to receive what God is doing for her, to receive it for yourself. And we didn't talk with Jackie about kind of words we wanted to use for, like, my short words and her testimony, but it's so aligned. When I was thinking about this Community Sunday, I was thinking about two topics were heavily imprinted in my heart, is the topic of redemption, Christ the Redeemer, and the topic of adoption into God's family. And I'm reading right now the book of Job, and if you don't know the story, is the man who lived in the Old Testament, and just like some bad, horrible stuff happened to him, right? I'm not going to go into details why and how, but the reality, he faced difficult situation. Then his friends came and started accusing and blaming him for his own despair, right? And Job is just trying to justify himself, trying to say, like, I want to talk to God. Like, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to God. And the words that he's using, his heart was crying for a redeemer. He was talking about that there is no mediator between him and God. He wanted someone to plead for him with God. And he was saying, my redeemer lives and he will stand with me before God. And I'm reading this and I'm like, this is Jesus. This is what Job is crying for. He wants Jesus. Something inside of him testifies that there is a God, right? There is a redeemer. And to be redeemed means to be forgiven, to be made holy, to be justified, to be free, to be adopted and reconciled with God. Redemption, as Jackie said, means that he's turning ashes into something beautiful. And this is the godly order. Listen to this truth. What devil meant for evil, God can turn it for good. This is not just me words. This is the order. This is just like the order that God is working. And like he proved me this for many, many, many times. And if you think right now that your past is too hard or too messed up or whatever has happened to you just made you who you are and there is no hope for you, there is a lie, because God is turning ashes into beautiful. You can experience the transforming love of Christ, then he will demonstrate, just put the glorious light on you and show you and present you in the most glorious and beautiful and honorable way. If you're saying that there is sin that is too big, God can forgive. He paid the highest price to cover the multitude of sins, the blood of Jesus. Or perhaps you're knowing that God has forgiven you, but then you're just are not expecting more from him. You're not expecting this freedom, the abundant life that he has promised to us. And I want to tell you that he is a redeemer and he has something more for you. Trust him in turning ashes into the beauty. Demonstrate and show love that he has for you, extravagant mercy and compassion. This is God's nature to redeem, and he does it so well. This is his purpose for you. He's not finished yet. And I know sometimes we feel like it cannot be possibly better. Like it cannot get better than this, but it can and it will. Amen. Nicole, can I ask you to put in the... I will read the Bible verses, just four of them. Isaiah 61:3 saying, I will bestow on them the crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Galatians 4:4-7, God sent his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And there is an inheritance for you, the inheritance of eternal life. John 1, verse 12. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. God invited us to be his sons and his daughters. This is the highest calling you could possibly ever receive in your life. He adopted you into his family. And if you feel lonely, if you feel like you don't belong anywhere, this is a lie, because you belong into God's family. And perhaps your relationship with your family need healing. This is a reminder And I love that in the stories of the testimonies, right? Ify, Yana, we're talking about community, how it nourished them, how it took care for them. This is God's family, right? And my desire for all of you is to experience what it means to be a part of this family. What it means when complete strangers from all around the world come together, having one spirit, one purpose, one desire, one God, and becoming closer than your own brothers and sisters. And Jackie, can I ask you to pray for us? Let's just stand up. I think the invitation, if you want God to work in your families the way He worked in Jackie, just put your hand as you're receiving something from God, and Jackie will pray for us.
Come, Lord Jesus, come. Your Spirit is here with us, God. We believe it, Jesus. You are here with us. You are the God that does the impossible. You are the God who helps. You are the God who saves. You are the God who redeems, who restores, who delivers, who heals. You are the God who provides. King Jesus, you do all these things. And we believe it. Triune God, you are incredible. You are incredible. You do the things that seem impossible. You make water stand up in a heap so people can walk through the sea. You make water come out of rocks. You make bread come out of the sky. God, you are the God that does the impossible. And so, King Jesus, we come to you, Lord, today believing that you want to restore families, believing that you want your Spirit to permeate through more family trees, and not just my family tree, but God, through other families. And so we are asking, King Jesus, in your mighty name, for your Spirit to just move, to move with every family represented in this room right now, Holy Spirit, that you would just permeate. Do what only you can do. Ignite flames. Ignite your holy flame, God, in people's lives. Open eyes, open ears to see and hear your truth and who you are and what you're about. And slay religion. Just knock down all the religious ideas and thoughts that keep people from knowing you, the living God. So, Holy Spirit, we're asking in your might and your power to move powerfully, to move. Today, Jesus, we're asking today will be the start of new beginnings. New beginnings where relationships are restored, families are restored. What was broken is completely mended by your power and your might, not by any human's power or might, because it has everything to do with you and your power and your authority. So come, Lord Jesus, come. We ask these things, believing that you are saying this with us. We love you, God. Thank you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, King Jesus. We praise you.
Amen. You have on your seats communion cups, and before we're going to take it, I just want to take a short time for you to just slow down, to quiet your soul. We're not going to be singing. I just want you to reflect on what God is saying. If there is an unforgiveness, just to forgive those who you did not forgive. If there is any issues or lies that you believe to God, bring it to Him in this moment. And then we're going to take the communion together. And if you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord. If what you hear today reminds you, or something inside of you saying, this is who God is. Like, I did not know, but this is who God is. And something inside of me is saying that this is the truth because it hits home. This is an opportunity for you to also receive Jesus with eyes closed. Can I ask you please just to close your eyes for a moment? With eyes closed, if you want to pray today with someone and confess with your mouth that you believe in Jesus, that you accept Him as the Lord and Savior, or maybe you're coming back to Him, maybe you want to recommit your life to Jesus, can you please raise your hands in the room? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. You can put your hand down. I saw some two gentlemen. Can you please come forward and we're going to pray for you right away? If you can come forward and we're going to pray for you. Thank you. Yeah. You can. Awesome. Cass is here. Yana, can I ask you to pray as well? Yeah. Amazing. Well, they're going to be praying and accepting Jesus and recommitting their life to Jesus. Can we just shout a praise to Jesus for what He has done today? And yeah, let's just take time right now for you and God and reflect on what He is telling you to your heart and pray to cleansing of the heart.